So let's talk a little bit about the final pasuk of the first parasha. Remember, Kriyat Shema is divided into three parashiyas. First parashiyah is theology, Emuna. Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, Yafdes Hashem, Lokecha, Talmud Torah. Without Torah, it's hard to build a theological foundation. You don't really know Hashem without Torah. Second parasha is mitzvahs. We'll discuss that a little bit. And third parasha, I want to talk a little bit about Berachas of Kriyat Shema. We'll get to that mitzvah next week. But the final pasuk discusses the mitzvah of mezuzah. In a broader sense, it's experientializing Torah. Instead of just making it cerebral, which you're thinking and learning and reading and in your head, it's taking Torah and making it experiential. Tefillin puts it on your body. Mezuzah puts it on your helm. So we talked a little bit about tefillin. Let's talk a little bit about mezuzah. What's the symbol of putting a mezuzah on your helm? So let's talk about maybe two or three things. Number one, this is all based on the Midrashim, is that every single part of our lives has halacha that applies to it. So the field has its halacha. The travel has its halacha. And the house has its halacha. So part of the power of halacha is it takes religion and avodas Hashem from compartmentalized moments of the human experience and it stretches it to the totality. It makes halacha flexible and it makes halacha holistic. So one of the failures of many religions is that it becomes Sunday morning, I'm in the church, I think about morality, I listen to the priest, I feel religious. But if you don't have laws and you don't have halacha, so when you walk out of the church, you walk out of that moment of spirituality, it's very hard to feel the presence of God. A lot of people complain about this. People that don't follow halacha, people from other religions, like, how do I feel God's presence on a Wednesday afternoon when I'm in the middle of work, when I'm in the middle of... So halacha takes HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will and stretches it to every nook and cranny of human experience so that you're always standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in different phases, in different frames of mind. So the house is just one of those other areas that halacha reaches. It's really one of the only mitzvahs of the house. What are the mitzvahs of the house? Mezuzah, makkah, Ner Chanukah. Those are more or less the mitzvahs that apply to the actual physical building in which you live. Now, of course, a house isn't a field, and a house is not just a business workplace. It's something much more iconic. The house symbolizes not just a residence where you live, like the field in which you work, but it's also your family. It's where you raise your family. So putting a mezuzah on the door frame is not just meant, oh, the field has a mitzvah, my workplace has mitzvahs, the road has mitzvahs, but Yiddishkeit, Judaism, always avoids that dichotomy between spirituality and religion and between raising a family. So if raising a family, I mean, the most extreme case in the Christian world, if you want to be really pious and really holy, you shouldn't have a family, you should be celibate. Having a family, engaging in sexual marital relations is a sin. In the Greek culture, raising children was menial and it was undignified. Anyone that still had to raise their children and couldn't afford to purchase slaves to raise your children for you, then you couldn't be part of the Senate. You couldn't be part of the political process because you were a second-class citizen because you had to raise your children. You had to diaper your babies. And, of course, we avoid any of this where I always tell whenever I speak to Chassanim, I say part of being an Ovad Hashem is being a good husband. Part of being an Ovad Hashem is being a good father. That's part of your Avodas Hashem. It's very important to remember this because when you shift from yeshiva, a lot of people have this crisis because they're used to defining Avodas Hashem in terms of learning and davening. And then all of a sudden, you're a parent and you're 32 years old, you're having a midlife crisis because you're only learning an hour a day and your davening is hard to... So you have to obviously improve your learning and your davening, but also realize that you're a Avodas Hashem right now, so be the best husband you could be, the best father you could be, and to work hard at it, right? Not every part of husbanding and being a father is easy. Sometimes it's hard. And when it gets hard, you say, well, Avodas Hashem is hard. That's why it's called Avodas Hashem. Just like learning till 12 o'clock at night is hard, being a good husband, a good father is also being hard. So that's one of the symbols of putting the mezuzah on the home. Now, Mirtz Hashem, in 2 weeks, we'll read Korach. One of the ways that Korach riled up the public against Moshe was he asked the following cynical question. He's trying to trip up Moshe or display how foolish in his mind Torah was. He said, what if you have a house that's full of Sifrei Torah? Must you affix a mezuzah to the doorpost? It seems counterlogical, right? The whole purpose is to drape the house in Torah, and you can accomplish that by one little parsha on the doorpost. So, alachas kama v'kama, the entire home is filled with real Sifrei Torah, the entire section. So he started making fun of Moshe and scorning Moshe and slandering Moshe, and he was riling up people. See how silly Moshe's Torah is and how silly Moshe's authority is. But we're briskers, right? Korach has a good point. What's Korach's Hava mean? Based on what I said just now, it would pay. It would be superior at least theoretically. Obviously, halacha is quantifiable, and you have to follow the letter of the law, not just the spirit of the law. But why is the letter of the law? Why doesn't Hashem say, fill your house with Sifrei Torah, and b'di'evit, if you can't afford all the Sifrei Torah, put one on the doorpost, if the whole purpose is to wrap the house in Torah? The answer is something iconic about a doorpost independent of the house. And that's what Korach was missing. On the one hand, Hashem wants us to drape our house in Torah. On the other hand, he wants it to be at the doorpost. Because there's something about the doorpost that's iconic. So what's iconic about the doorpost? So first of all, that's the doorpost of Mitzrayim. That's the doorpost that was our first religious article, our religious artifact in Mitzrayim. Before we had a Mizbeach, before we had a Sefer Torah, the only thing we didn't even have, we barely had meal in Mitzrayim, but the first non-physical item that we were able to perform religious ceremonies and religious rituals and mitzvahs was the doorpost. Ulekachtem agudas ezov, utvaltem adama shebasav, igatem el hamashkof, feel shteham mezuzos. So, we always want to be part of history. We always want to feel like we're living in 2023, artificial intelligence, technology, I'm talking about this tomorrow as part of the sessions. We always want to go back to these seminal moments of Jewish history. Obviously, we go back to them once a year during Pesach. We refer to them theoretically every day. We'll learn this in Mirth Hashem tomorrow. L'matisko, Yom Tzitzchem, Mitzrayim, Kol Yom Yechayecha. We mention Mitzrayim. We also put a mezuzah on the doorpost to remember that our ancestors also applied dam to the doorpost. But obviously, that's something in the back of our heads. In the front of our heads is that the doorpost is when we actually leave our house to begin a new chapter for a day. There's something very existential about walking out of your home and starting your day. And the mezuzah is right there at that transit point, at that boundary, as you transition from home, sleep, family life, to whatever awaits you in the world. Now, part of it is just a little bit of fear, like, will you succeed that day? I know, obviously, if you're leaving just to go to the makola, you don't feel that fear, but if you're leaving on a trip, or you're leaving to go away for the year, or you're leaving to go for a very important day, when you have a very important meeting, or a very important test or something, you want to know that you'll be successful, and you want to feel that your success is a product of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Seata Dishmaya. And that's why so many people have a minute to kiss the mezuzah on your way out. There's no mitzvah to kiss the mezuzah, but specifically when you leave the house. Like, even if you don't, some people kiss the mezuzah every time they walk through a door. But even if you don't. So here's a good bit of advice, okay? I think sometimes gush guys fail in their frumkeit because they're only able to think of frumkeit in terms of the high, sophisticated. In my learning, I was talking in South Africa to a boy who's, you know, going through transitions and adjustments in his learning. And I was trying to tell him, you're not in the stage anymore where you can learn Reb Chaim's. You're not in the stage anymore where you can learn Lamdas. Just focus on Daf Yomi. Focus on Shtei Mikra V'Chet Targum. Focus on the basics. Once the foundation is solid, then build from there. So the same thing. There's a lot of life. If you want to be from in the next 25 years, here are the things to work on. Not 5 Reb Chaim's and 2 Shagas Ayers and 13 Tosas in. Okay, come to Minyan on time. Walk out of Shul backwards. Every day you walk out of Shul backwards. I'll talk about this at some point this week. For the boys that are leaving, just to show that there's a part of me that I'd rather be in the base matters all day, but I can't. Things are calling me after I'm a pronounce. I don't have the mental, whatever the story is, but if I could wave a magic wand and take a magic pill and the word would be perfect, I'd rather stay in the base matters. Sing Zemiris on Shabbos. They did a Pew study a couple of years ago that families that sing Zemiris on Shabbos. And I promise you, what I'm about to say is a lot more important, ironically, than some of the other things you'd think are Frumkeit protectors. When you leave the house, kiss the mezuzah. What do you mean? That's like for, that's not sophisticated religion. But religion and religious success in an enduring fashion is a balance between the high and the low. So read Rabbi Sachs and read Rabbi Lichtenstein and pour through Tosfos and think, but also make sure you focus on the simple things. I know a lot of simple Jews, they never saw Rabbi Chaim in their life, never read Rabbi Sachs, can't understand Rabbi Lichtenstein. They go to shul, they kiss the mezuzah, they walk back out of shul backwards, and they remain solidly from. You want to hit higher notes, but sometimes you skip steps when you look for higher, more ambitious levels of Avodas Hashem, and the high can never stand without the low. Always remember that. The high can't stand without the low. It's like a building. So if the foundation is solid, then you can build higher stories. So there's something iconic about leaving your house every day, kissing the mezuzah, taking a quick nanosecond to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me, help me, support me. I'm going out, I'm going to express my talent, but I know who's filling my parachute. I know who's taking it. It's always like a metaphor, right? You know how long it takes to arrange someone's parachute to make sure that all the hooks are in place and all the strings are in place, and if that person who's preparing your parachute is a little bit irresponsible, is a little bit just lax, you can die. So who's preparing your parachute? So from a religious standpoint, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing your parachute. And there's so many elements that have to go right every day. And we put it in the back burner because so we jump out of the plane, we don't think about how many hours it took to align the parachute. We start our day and we go out and apply our talents. And day starts and you kiss the mezuzah. You walk out of the house. The next day or the next couple hours should be successful. Okay? So the mezuzah is both a house as well as a door. That's why Korach made his mistake. He saw it only as a house. He said, well, what difference does it make if it's on the door? The answer is no, there's something iconic about the door. Okay? Tomorrow we'll just take a quick look at the second parsha of Kishma. Okay? Good morning.